Welcome everybody to our online meta session. It's good to see you all. And usually we start this online session with some sharing for about 10 minutes. So this is the place when you can share anything about, you know, in your practice or what you experienced in your practice or how you practiced. It's about 10 minutes that we do this sharing. And, you know, don't feel feel shy to say something. And it doesn't need to be, you know, the most amazing experience that you had or the worst thing that happened to you in your practice. You know, even if you think it's so ordinary or simple, it's well worth to share it with others. And for this, you can unmute yourself or raise your digital hand. And, you know, this is not the time to ask questions or to get feedback on your practice. This comes at the end of this session. So we will give no comment to whatever you will be saying. So now the space is open. Who wants to share something? Yes, yes, now we can hear you.
Hi, this is Alan and Christine, and we are doing the city retreat, and our experience in the last 2 days has been, it's really difficult, really challenging, because just of time constraints, we thought, well, it's easy, we can do it, it's just half of the meditation, or even less, what you do when you're on a regular retreat. In the last 2 days, there were so many unforeseen things coming up. Our fridge was going down. We had to organize a new one and do so many things. So that it, and we just came in. We just had like 15 minutes for our lunch break and eat something because we had another thing going on this morning, and we really didn't expect this. We thought we would calm down and have really a quiet time, and it's just surprising what's going on.
Yeah, sorry. Yes, not only what's going on around, but also I noticed in my rest time at night, I found it also more disturbance comes up, sort of bit. I had more sadness, for example, things like that. Just I thought, like Alan said, you think he would more, everything would get more quiet, but it didn't happen at all to me anyway. But you know, on all levels, sort of. I wanted to say, yeah, thank you.
So that's a little bit from our side.
Yes, thank you, Alan and Christine.
Yes, Armelle.
Yes, please, Armelle.
Thank you, Aria. It's also difficult, this city retreat for me. I didn't remember the time I need to be in another rhythm. To take time for me, to take time to be more patient, more come with more quiet, yes. And it's very interesting to see how it is difficult because I have time for 2 or 3 days. The time to connect is on my planning, but the rest of the time I didn't introduce all the things I have to do for the practice. So I know it. It's. I have
to try and try and try.
Yes, to try and try.
Repetition. Yeah. To stay always. I have to do that. I have to do that. I have to do that. But stop. It will be natural. Mm. And now it's not. I think it's the beginning. And so I hope that it's only the beginning and it's all. But we are on the road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's difficult to stop a lot of things. That's it. To stop and to use the time we have differently for the practice. There is a kind of movement to take the time simply. Mm. Thank you.
Thank you, Armel and Eric. Does somebody else feel inclined to share something?
I would like to share. Can you hear me?
Yes, please.
Yes, please.
I find I have a lot of pressure on myself and doubt coming up. It's like in an irregular retreat. The shift is to be like I'm demanding a lot of myself and a lot of expectations of this retreat. And I find I'm very confused on how to be with it because it is a city retreat and I have this desire to have it like be a more casual sort of retreat and to have something softer about it, and I see how my mind immediately goes to something quite hard and quite constrained. Like now I should do this, and now I should. I'm walking. I'm just washing the dishes. I should use the phrase, and it's it feels not as kind as I would want it. I want it to be. And some confusion on the phrases. Usually I practice with these two phrases and I automatically go to them. And you said to use only one phrase. So I'm, I don't know, get confused, but I think it's the general, atmosphere of this, resistance to beginning of retreat that I know.
Thank you. Thank you, Noam, and thank you everybody who has shared today. Now I will hand over to Aya Viranyani, who will continue.
Thank you, Arya. And yes, thank you all for your sharing. It's really a wonderful contribution to the communal atmosphere and to the sense of the fact that we're all supporting each other. And as a few of you have already said, we're just beginning, many of us. And even if you did the first metta retreat, you've had a week in between. And we're always just beginning. Each moment, we're beginning. But of course, there is the form of a retreat, whether it be a city retreat or an intensive retreat. And of course, we have expectations. We're human beings. So before we begin the practice today, I'd like to spend about 20 minutes of sharing some reflections about metta, some reflections about the process. Yesterday, Ariya spoke briefly but quite eloquently about metta, about what it is, a little bit about the process, how we cultivate it in brief. And she spoke in the instructions about how we begin with ourselves to create that beautiful empathetic bridge that allows us, as the chant we did yesterday, to radiate loving kindness for all beings, just as to ourselves. So that's the beginning and the end result. Please do not be concerned at the messiness of what happens between the beginning and the end, because it does get that way sometimes in this practice. Expectation of metta practice is so common and so, I would say, universal. We think, oh, wonderful, I'm going to go practice metta bhavana, I'll cultivate this beautiful state of mind. Ah, wonderful. And then? And then what happens is often the opposite. Please know that this is normal. And what one of my early teachers, Munindraji, used to say, it's lawful, it's in accord with the way things are. When we begin, and when I say begin, I mean no matter how many retreats we've sat and how many decades we have been practicing, when we begin a time of practice, an hour of sitting, even, we can come to that with expectations. And when we're cultivating metta, often we don't expect, even if we know better intellectually, we don't expect the opposite to arise. This is a cultivation, as Ariya described yesterday, and it's also a purification. And in that aspect of purification, this is where the opposites begin to show themselves. And they do so in a particular way as we go through the sequence of categories. As many of you know very well, we start where it's easy and get successively more and more difficult, one category after another. And as Ariya said yesterday, we do begin with ourselves, not necessarily because it's easier, because for many of us, it is not, but because we know directly for ourselves that wish to be happy, that wish to be healthy, that wish to be free from suffering. It's normal human behavior. This is not something sublime and exalted, although it is that, but it's basically very grounded. May I be happy? May I be healthy? And our daily life, and this is where a daily life retreat really comes into its strength. In our daily life, in countless ways, we're directly cultivating metta for ourselves. When we are out walking from in a city, we don't just walk into the street when we get to an intersection. We stop, we look both ways. May I be safe and protected? May I not be mowed down by the next car that comes by or run into a bicyclist? When we wake up at noon and in the evening, we eat. May I be strong? May I be healthy? We eat to maintain our life. It is itself an act of metta if we have that attitude. May I be healthy? And a lot of us do a lot of things to maintain our health. We take supplements, we brush our teeth, we go to the doctor, we have checkups. We do all sorts of things to maintain the body. We exercise it, we massage it, we go to a physio. May I be healthy? There is a basic metta intention behind all those actions. So to remember this, if you have trouble radiating metta for yourself in the formal practice, to know that this is natural. You do it all the time anyway. Please don't reach for something grandiose. It's just, may I be happy? May I be healthy? May I be free from danger, safe and protected? And to remember that metta is natural. It's present in every pure moment of consciousness. It's in the Abhidhamma, it's called a universal beneficial mind state, meaning it's universal when the mind is completely wholesome. It's one of a number of mind states that are present in each completely pure, wholesome state of mind. So this aspect of purification is basically showing us everything that's getting in the way of metta that is natural when all that is gone. All the greed, all the aversion, all the delusion. We see it in living color. And it can be quite disturbing when we think, oh, this isn't maybe right for me because all these other things are coming up. Well, that's actually a really good sign. So please don't be disturbed by that when that happens. Please don't be too involved in all that when all that happens. The practice is just to acknowledge it, hopefully with a little humor. Humor helps. Just let it be there. Don't do anything to change it or try to change it. You can't. And just incline instead to metta. This training of the mind is so much a training of inclination. We have habits. We all have habits. We have conditioning from which those habits come. And these two things together have formed our basic way of moving through life, living in the world. Our basic ways of reacting to what comes at us. And in cultivating this quality of metta, what we're actually cultivating is the habit of choosing, instead of going to our old habits, choosing a new habit. Going instead, inclining instead to metta. So Ariya said last night, and I said, I thought so beautifully, we engage in the metta practice in order to strengthen the metta, to make it firm and durable. And a lot of what we're making firm and durable is not the metta itself, which exists naturally when the mind is pure, but that habit of inclination and that access that comes to natural metta when the mind is pure. Please don't get tangled up in the language here. These two ways of looking at metta as something we cultivate or as something that's natural that just exists when the mind is pure, these are both correct. It's very difficult to speak using language about the mind and heart. Both of these aspects of the practice are correct. Both of them are valid, even though they seem contradictory. Sometimes, they think of them as metaphors, really. Sometimes one fits better than the other. I find it very useful for myself and others. When we get caught in too much trying, too much effort, too much pressure, that resting back that comes when we remember that metta is natural in the pure mind, and all we need to do is to keep inclining in that direction, and that does the work of the practice. That's very helpful, to remember that natural nature of metta, the fact that it's there all the time. We just need to access it. And at other times, seeing metta as a state that we cultivate, we actually cultivate it like we cultivate a garden. We plant seeds of metta in each moment of repeating the phrase. That's another way of looking at the same thing, basically. But sometimes that metaphor is most useful. Just plant seeds. It doesn't matter what happens. Whichever language you use, whichever metaphor resonates for you in the moment, the main thing to remember is that we don't create this thing we call metta and then send it to somebody. And this thing we call metta, it's not ours anyway. So it's not that we create my metta and send it to you. That's not the way it works. The metta is there, we just need to access it. We need to cultivate the habit of inclining to it, phrase by phrase by phrase. And when the mind is pure, it's like cleaning a window. The light just shines out by itself. There's nothing we need to do. So resting back, not using energy to create, to do, to send, to change, to adjust anything. And one of the beautiful things that this practice offers us, when that habit begins to be established, is choice. The world is the way it is. There's nothing we can do to change that. But the question that's very helpful to ask ourselves is, how do we want to respond to the inevitable difficulties that arise? Do we want to respond with worry, with obsession, with rumination, those thought loops that go around and around and keep us up at night, with fear? Or do we want to respond with acceptance, with interest, with curiosity, with kindness? And of course, I know the answer to that for each of you, or you wouldn't be here. So understanding that the more we plant those seeds, the more we cultivate metta, the more we purify the mind so that we can easily access it, the more choice we will have when faced with difficulty. So we go to metta instead of hatred. I was really struck today by something I read in the news, and all of you know what's going on in the world, so the terrible news that's come from Turkey and Syria about the earthquake has also really highlighted what happens for most of us as human beings when terrible, terrible things happen. Those habits of hatred move into the background. We forget all about them, and we just rush to help. This, to me, really highlights the natural, powerful quality of metta that comes for each of us. And there was something that really touched me that I read, because in Cyprus is half Greek and half Turkish, and people have been fighting over that since the 70s, with no small amount of hatred and animosity. But when in the earthquake, a team of young junior high school volleyball players was missing and feared that they were lost, their hotel had collapsed, people from the Greek side of Cyprus weren't saying how wonderful that was.
9:00 p.m.
They were saying the opposite. There was this beautiful quote. Somebody just said this and put it out as a beautiful well-wishing. And this is from a Greek Cypriot for this team of Turkish Cypriot volleyball players. "We express our hope that we will soon have good news about their fate. We wish them courage and express our feelings of solidarity with their families and the Turkish Cypriot community in general." This was from some politicians Greek Cypriots who last week would have been not saying something like that, saying quite the opposite. The metta just comes naturally into the foreground. We forget about hatred when terrible things happen to each other. And the good news, of course, to share also is this whole team of volleyball players is fine. They've been rescued. So our habits of hatred are not so deep as our habits of metta. So to trust that. And I want to close with my sharing with a beautiful verse from the Dhammapada. In the past, this mind wandered where it wished, as it liked, as it pleased. Now I will retrain it wisely, as an elephant trainer does a wild elephant. So trusting metta and retraining the mind to incline always to that, no matter what. So we've started with ourselves, and in the practice today we'll begin with that. But then partway through the sitting we'll move on to the first category. And remembering this beautiful bridge, to all as to myself. So we begin with another person where it's easiest, understanding that just as I want to be happy, so they want to be happy as well. And choosing one person who for us is a benefactor, somebody whose presence in our life has been beneficial, has been beautiful. You don't have to know this person or have a relationship with them. Just understanding that they're another human being whose presence in your life has just been a blessing. And understanding that seeing the goodness of this person is one of the easiest causes for metta to arise. So inclining to noticing and remembering what is good, what is beautiful about this person. And remembering that metta does not belong to us. So if you have the thought, oh, what good is my metta for that person? They're so above me and I'm just no one. Please remember, metta does not belong to you. It just exists in the pure mind. This is what we're accessing. So everybody needs metta, no matter who they are. And the strength of our metta has nothing to do with our personality or what gets in the way of metta. It's just there when we access it. So all beings need metta. This being also needs metta. So choosing somebody in your life or somebody who's directly affected your life in a beneficial, beautiful way. Connecting with their goodness. And then I'll let you know when to move on from yourself to this person. So we first establish metta for ourselves, and then we move on to wishing this other person well. How you connect with that other person is very individual, very unique to you. Some people are visual, and you might have an image in your mind's eye of that person. Some people are just more feeling people, so You might have the felt sense of being with that person, or that person's energetic signature. However you connect with that person is fine. And when you move on to that person, please use their name, or, you know, may my benefactor be well, happy, and peaceful. May the Dalai Lama be well, happy, and peaceful. May Sayadaw be well, happy, and peaceful. So the main constraint is they need to be alive. So please choose somebody who is living, not somebody who has passed on. And somebody whose goodness you really, really can connect with easily. Usually when choosing another person, the very first thought is the best one. So whoever, if somebody has come to mind right now, choose that person. No need to dig. Find the perfect person. Perfection is an illusion, so don't worry about finding the perfect person, the perfect benefactor. Just whoever comes to mind right now. And staying with that person through this sitting. So please get comfortable. We'll begin the formal sitting now. Resting back in a comfortable posture, whether you're sitting on the floor or in a chair. If you have physical problems that require that you lie down, it's completely okay to do that. Resting back for a moment in the simple experience of this body, here, now. And if you haven't done so already, closing your eyes. Connecting with this body and mind, this living system. Connecting with the heart center. The general area of the chest. You can put your hand there if you need that to make it clear, to make those sensations clear. And when you feel present to yourself, for yourself, beginning to cultivate metta, this simple well-wishing, with the phrase that you have chosen in your own language. Repeating it silently, quietly to yourself. And as you do, dropping into the meaning of this well-wishing, what are you wishing for yourself? Simply and directly knowing that. And then in your own, at your own pace, whatever that is, to allow you to connect most easily, continuing to repeat the phrase for yourself. Just planting those seeds of kindness and watering them with the simple continuity of coming back to that phrase again and again and again. Inclining to kindness, moment to moment to moment. Nothing you need to do. To create anything or send it. Simply planting seeds. Simply inclining over and over and over again. Creating a new habit of kindness. Beginning again as many times as you need to. And now moving on to this benefactor or respected person, bringing them to heart and mind with either an image or just their felt sense. And continuing to cultivate kind, friendly, well-wishing for them, using the same phrase you used for yourself. May my benefactor be well, happy, and peaceful. May they be safe and protected from harm. May my benefactor be at ease with the conditions of their life. May my benefactor be healthy and strong. Whatever phrase you've chosen is fine. Continuing to use that phrase in your own language, at your own pace, so that you can connect with the meaning of the words as you silently repeat them to yourself. Over and over, simply connecting. With the heart, with the benefactor, and with your kind wish for them, for their health, for their happiness, for their ease of mind and body. So thank you, everybody. Please continue in this way in your formal sitting practice and your formal walking practice today. Whether it be a lot or a little, spending roughly half of each time with yourself and then moving on when you feel ready to the benefactor. In general activities, when you're doing whatever you need to do to be alive, you know, in your daily life, whether it be around the house or at work, with family or alone, with coworkers or by yourself, inside or outside, whether you're going for a walk. Finding your own way to incline the mind, to remember over and over and over to incline the mind to metta. And you can use a more open, free form of the practice, radiating loving kindness to whomever you happen to be with or whomever you happen to meet. So say you go for a walk and you encounter other beings, human or otherwise, simply wishing them well. You can use the phrase in your general activities if it comes naturally. For example, if you're going for a walk by yourself, sometimes it can be quite easy. Well, happy, peaceful, well, happy, peaceful. Just to connect in that way. But don't worry if the phrase doesn't come. Finding your own way into that inclination without words. Finding your own way to remember. This is the crux of the practice. Simple remembering. Oh, yeah, metta. Don't worry that there are big gaps. There might be. That's okay. At least you know. See if you can, when you go to bed tonight, just put your hand on your heart. Maybe without words, you want to be able to fall asleep, but just to connect with that kindness for yourself. And see how long it takes for you to remember it when you wake up in the morning. Play with the form in your general activities, whether you're cooking or washing the dishes or at work or reading or gardening, or going for a walk, or driving, walking, cycling. See what you can do to remember, and short moments count, as Ariya said yesterday. One moment of metta can be extremely powerful. So if you remember once an hour, that's once. And that's better than none at all. So expect gaps and do your best to simply keep coming back. So thank you, everybody, for your kind attention, for your practice. Turn you over to Ariya for questions and for the chanting today.
Thank you, sister. So now is the time for you to ask any questions in relation to metta, the practice of metta meditation. Unmute yourself if you want to put forth your question.
Mm-hmm.
And don't feel shy. And remember, there are no silly questions. Each question is valid.
I have a question, if I may.
Yes,
Karina.
Karina.
Maybe it's just a language issue, but I was wondering why do we use the word happy and the word contentment or content is never said. So I was wondering why that is. Is there a reason? Maybe not.
Thank you, Karina, for the question. Yeah, this is essential. And, you know, there is no obvious reason. If for you the word contentment is closer to your heart or has more meaning, of course, you can use contentment instead of happiness. But, you know, I think happiness is taken because this is kind of a very general word expressing, yeah, a basic wish of human beings, of living beings, happy in whatever way that is meant. But, yeah, you may use contentment, no problem.
Thank you.
Somebody else? René, I see you have...
Yes. Yes, thank you. It's for me, it's so much easier to feel metta for the well-wisher than for myself. I get an immediate feeling of metta, thinking about this well-wisher. And for me, it's dry. And I wonder how... What's the reason? Is it common?
Thank you, René, for this question. You know, people are different. And I have noticed, and many teachers have noticed, that especially for people in the West, it can be more difficult to cultivate metta for themselves than it is to cultivate metta for others. So this is quite common, happens quite often. And it's good that you notice this. And so now, you know, for the next 24 hours, as Aya Viranyani has said, to spend about half of the formal meditation cultivating metta for yourself and half of it for the benefactor. So you may switch it around. You may start where it's easier, namely with the benefactor. And then, you know, after, yeah, metta is present, you have connected to it, take the momentum to direct it to yourself.
I understand. Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I have a question.
Yes, please.
Yeah, and maybe I'm in search for the perfect benefactor. I remember I was struggling with the benefactor last year as well. Is it a person I have to agree with like 100% or nearly, or is it okay to also consider some things as critical? with the benefactor. I was just wondering how positive the benefactor should be.
Right. Thank you, Chuwan. You know, there are rarely people who are 100% only positive. As Aya Vivaranyani has mentioned, you know, when we cultivate metta, we direct or we look at this person or we look at the good sides, the good qualities, the good things this person does in their practice. And so, you know, if there are some sides, some aspects in this person that you don't agree with, then that's fine, but do not focus on them. You know, shine the light on the good, wholesome qualities of this person.
Thank you.
Welcome. Well, if there is no more question for the moment, then we go on with our metta chants. And I would like to start with a metta chant, which is actually the four boundless states, the Brahma Viharas. It's on page 3. On the top of the page, we have the Pali version, which is an extract from the suttas, the words of the Buddha. Below, we have the English translation, and we do the English version so that you get familiar with the words of these chants. And, you know, the first verse is about loving kindness, metta. The second one, then you substitute loving kindness with compassion, which is karuna. The third time, it's gladness, mudita. And the fourth time, it's equanimity, upekkha. So we will start. I will abide, pervading 1/4, with a mind imbued with loving kindness, likewise the second, likewise the third, likewise the fourth, so above and below, around and everywhere, and to all as to myself. I will abide, pervading the all-encompassing world, with a mind imbued with loving-kindness, abundant, exalted, immeasurable, without hostility and without ill will. I will abide, pervading 1/4, with a mind imbued with compassion, likewise the second, likewise the third, likewise the fourth, so above and below, around and everywhere, and to all as to myself. I will abide, pervading the all-encompassing world, with a mind imbued with compassion, abundant, exalted, immeasurable, without hostility and without ill will. I will abide, pervading 1/4, with a mind imbued with gladness, likewise the second, likewise the third, likewise the fourth, so So above and below, around and everywhere, and to all as to myself, I will abide, pervading the all-encompassing world, with a mind imbued with gladness, abundant, exalted, immeasurable, without hostility and without ill will. I will abide, pervading one quarter, with a mind imbued with equanimity, likewise the second, likewise the third, likewise the fourth, so above and below, around and everywhere, and to all as to myself. I will abide, pervading the all-encompassing world, with a mind imbued with equanimity, abundant, exalted, immeasurable, without hostility and without ill will. Then we will go to the page 6 in the middle. It has the title Metta, and this one is in Sanskrit, Loka Samasta Sukhino Bhavantu. That's the very basic Metta wish. May all beings in all the worlds be happy. And we'll do this a number of times. Loka samasta sukhino bhavantu. 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 And then we go to page 5. It's a chant in English, Metta in deed, speech, and thought. So highlighting the fact that Metta can be expressed on these three levels, namely metta as thoughts, metta in the heart, in the mind, but also manifested in speech, kind and friendly words, and manifested in physical actions, kind, benevolent physical actions. So we will begin. Whenever your action is suffused with metta, you will be treated with respect and kindness, forever remembered with gratitude, living harmoniously and in unity, at peace with yourself and the world. Whenever your speech is suffused with metta, speaking words that are sweet, beneficial, and pleasing to hear, you will be treated with respect and kindness, forever remembered with gratitude, living harmoniously and in unity, at peace with yourself and the world. Whenever your thoughts are suffused with metta, you will be treated with respect and kindness, forever remembered with gratitude, living harmoniously and in unity, at peace with yourself and the world. So with this, we come to the end of our online session. And today we will start with this group interviews. Today, group A will be with Aya Vivranyani, and group D, like Doris, will be with me. And so with me in 10 minutes from now, and also with Aya Vivranyani. With Aya Vivranyani, it's on this Zoom link, but maybe you need to close?
I need to close here, and so...
So, because we are going back to our rooms, Aya Vivranyani will close this Zoom link, and those who have an interview with her need to sign in again. And those with me, you have my Zoom link on the sheet for the group interviews, so please sign in to my link. So then, may you continue with your practice with interest and confidence, and we'll see each other again tomorrow or those in the interviews very soon. With respect and appreciation for your practice. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.